Good morning and welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach. What's a coach? Well, if you had asked my oldest son about 14 years ago when he was telling his friends, "My mom's a shrink, my mom's a shrink." No, I would say to him, "Baby, I'm not a shrink. A shrink is someone who tries to figure out what's wrong and give you a label and pump you full of drugs. I'm a coach. I teach people how to score in the game of life. I give them equipment and strategy and support and encouragement. I coach people to succeed." One day he turned around and looked at me and said, "Mom, you're the worst kind of shrink. You're a shrink in denial." And I thought, you know what? The first time, I think he actually became my favorite child. The power of synergy. I realized a few years back I needed to find a niche, an area of expertise. When I coach people to succeed, I want them to be healthy and happy and truly fulfilled in life. So I focused on relationships. That's why I changed the business to Synergy and my show to The Power of Synergy. What is synergy? It's what we create when we come together with people. I love to explain very basic principles to my listeners, to my students, to my clients, and even my colleagues. First of all, there's no neutral energy. If you are not positive, you default into negative energy. Well, some people like to give a stock answer of, "Well, I'm not in a good mood or in a bad mood. I'm just indifferent." Well, no, actually, again, since there's no neutral energy, if you are not concerted positive, you are by default negative. N not caring is indifference. That's negative energy. That's why in the legal system, it can be called depraved. Someone who accidentally kills someone without caring about that's depraved. Okay, so first of all, there's no neutral energy. Ask yourself right now, is your physical, emotional, mental energy positive or negative? Number two, principle number two, there's no inertia. You are either moving towards someone, away from them, or with them. Yeah, let's synchronize, let's synergize. When we get together, what is synergy? It's actually the power that we create when we come together, when our energy unites, when our purpose synchronizes, and we get that good energy. I like to make it in numbers and illustration. Let's say we quantify our value as people. Let's say I'm a three and my husband is an eight. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be talking on this show today how, in a sensory way, he's definitely got a higher value than me, right? But then when we think about this, if he and I are in a situation and we're both doing something around each other, three plus eight, that's 11. Well, what if we decide we're going to be doing the same activity? Three times eight, that's 24. What if we synchronize? That's empowering each other. How much do you know about exponents? What is 8 to the 3rd power? That's 512. That's a lot more than 11 and definitely more impressive than 24. But what's 3 to the 8th power? That's 6,561. Okay, now we're having some fun here. What's our capacity? What's our potential when we come together with people and we have a common focus, when we have the synergy energy, when we have the unity of our functionality? That's what the show is going to be about today. Unity of functioning. Everybody has a different personality, but we have a functional order. And so I posed a question this week on my LinkedIn profile. When we get together, how important is it for us to get our functionality? How do we do that? That's going to make the decision of who are we going to marry or what job are we going to take? We have to make sure the way that we function with, to, for, and around other people is healthy and it's proactive. And it's conscientious. Okay, so I'm going to be moving kind of quickly through the show today just because I'm going to be covering a lot of information. The book that I have is going to be about functionality in the MBTI, Myers-Briggs Personality Profile System, Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. It's a very popular tool that people use to profile around the world. But the book that I've printed, and it should be released here by the end of the month. It's about functional order. It's not just about your dichotomies. It's not about your dispositions. It's about the activities that you do all day, every day, even the activities that you have to do in life that aren't your personality preference. How do you do the things that are not your personality's preference? You do them in the way of your personality. Well, if you're not doing that, you should do it for the reason of your personality. If you're not doing that, you are not healthy for the people around you. So I'm going to be going through the terms a little bit quickly because I'm going to be explaining the specific examples of what that means in daily life. I love the fact that my husband is ESTP, and the fact that I'm an INTP makes him crazy, but he loves it. He loves to hate it about me because you know what? We make life fun and interesting and successful for each other when we unite. So I'm going to be giving examples of all the dichotomies, but most importantly, levels of functionality. So if you have a question or a comment, I have an email address that you can pose a question if you don't want to call in. It's thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com. And the phone number to the station is 888-627-6008. I'll be repeating that periodically and checking, refreshing my email to see if anybody has asked me anything. Let me just go right ahead, refresh that right now. Okay, so no, not yet. Now, my producer's name is Don, and he's a really great guy. So when you call in, he's going to be the one answering the phone, and he'll let me know if you have a question. Again, the fact that I'm a relationship coach, usually I invite people to ask me anything they want about the general concepts of relationships. But today I'm going to keep it very strictly about personalities and how we do things. What we do in life, best to worst, most to least, is the foundation that we need to base our decisions in life, work, relationships, lifestyle, schedule, choices, the way that we plan the time that we spend in our daily life. Has to be about who we are truly in the most organic way. Okay, so one of the things I love to tell people, just as a coach, right out of the gate, positive is more powerful than negative. But negative is simply more prevalent in this world because it is more, well, it's easier. Let's just say it's easier because when you give up, most of the time, people give up when they have a positive mindset, when they have a positive focus, when they have a very specific goal and they have good emotional energy. That emotional energy, that positive energy could conquer the negative and be successful and create amazing things in life. It's just that unfortunately, most positive people give up before they see those results, before they see that effort and that energy come to fruition because they don't get together with other people. And one of my favorite expressions also is the best way to conquer is to divide. When we unify, we strengthen. When we strengthen, we endure. Okay, so now one of the expressions in a movie, I love this movie, Terms of Endearment, when she's talking to the doctor about her daughter's cancer, she says, "How is she? You're not telling me anything." And the doctor's response is, "Well, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst." And her response was, "And they let you get away with that." But think about it, ladies and gentlemen, in the most practical terms, when you hope for the best, that means your mind and heart are positive. That's the good positive energy that your body is going to manifest. Now, if you prepare for the worst, it just means that you've taken care of the logistics of the potential possibilities. That's actually preparation for real life. If you know in your activity, your daily life, you can say, "This is my personality. This is what I love to do. This is what I'm good at. But you know what? In life, I'm still going to have to do things that I don't want to do and that I'm not good at. And that, you know what? They just kind of irritate me, but I still have to do them." Keeping that positive mindset is what it's about. So let's go over really quickly the four dichotomies. And I have a lot of information on that in my book. I'm going to, and in, actually in the first book too, the life coaching workbook. The first part of the book explains that in a little bit more detail. But I like to explain that the four parts of human behavior are number one, the social energy. You're either an introvert or an extrovert. The second one is your general focus. You're either sensory or you're intuitive. The third one is about how you make decisions. You're either thinker or feeler. And the fourth one is how you carry out the decisions that you make. You're a perceiver or a judger. Okay, so without going into too much detail, the questions that I talk about with introvert or extrovert are, do you like to be around people or do you like to be alone more? Okay. Yeah, we know pretty much if we're good around people or if we're better when we're with ourselves. Everybody has to do both. Keep that in mind. And I hate it when people say, I'm an ambivert. Everybody is an ambivert. You have to do both. But we're going to be talking today about the next two dichotomies, which are a total of four letters. This is your functional order. Two of your personality letters, the second and the third, are going to be performed. One in an introverted way, one in an extroverted way. And you're still going to have to do the other activities of the dichotomy for the second and third letter of your personality in an introverted and an extroverted way. Let's talk about that. Because, for example, again, I'm INTP, which means my N and my T are my personality. I still have to do S and F, right? In my daily activities, how do I do my N and my T? Which one is introverted and which one is extroverted? And then when I have to do the S instead of the N and the F instead of the T, which I do have to do in life, which one of those is going to be introverted and which one is going to be extroverted? That's why it's important to know the first letter of your personality because it's going to tell you of each dichotomy, the one that you do in an introverted way. For me, that's going to be the one that's easier for me. The one that I do in an extroverted way, you know what? That's just going to be harder, but I still have to do it. Okay. So when we're talking about whether you're intuitive or sensory, one of the things I like to say is if you're a sensor, you have an excellent sense of direction and you love eating bad food. Okay, I can ask you 120 questions, but one that's really going to tell you if you're sensory. If you are sensory, you don't get lost. In fact, your sense of direction is better than any kind of application, map application, electronic device that you can use. Which way is north? Okay, at this corner, turn left. I love the fact that when my husband and I are delivering food, he literally throws out the electronic device that Uber Eats would give him. Yeah, because he has an amazing inherent sense of direction. And when I'm making food and I think, oh my gosh, this is absolutely horribly the most disgusting thing that I've ever made because I'm an N, so I can't cook to save my life. He will literally come up to the food and go, okay, wow, that looks incredibly horrible. I think I'm going to die if I eat it. I can't wait to take a bite. Okay, that's how you know if you're sensory. Okay. Intuitive questions. I ask people, do you always want to know why? Yeah, are you thinking about the future and how things are connected? Because you understand the big picture. If you're sensory, you prefer the right here, right now. If you're intuitive, you want the long-term big picture. And so you understand what's beneath the surface of what you're looking at. Okay, so you know, just kind of as a general rule, are you more sensory or intuitive? And then the next dichotomy is about how you make decisions. You're either thinking or feeling. If you're thinking, you want your decisions to make logical, rational sense, and you're emotionally detached when you make those decisions. If you're feeling, you're more about being concerned and unselfish and loving and generous with the people. Thinkers are about information, feelers are about people. Now, don't confuse that. That doesn't mean thinkers are more intelligent, because there are a lot of really stupid thinkers in the world. And it doesn't mean if you're a feeler that you're emotional. There are a lot of emotional thinkers, okay? Feelers are about giving love to people and taking care of them. Thinkers are about being objective and logical and rational and analytical. Okay, so you have to do sensing and intuiting and thinking and feeling throughout your life. Here's the question, and this is the key. Which one do you do most? Which one do you do the next? Which one do you do next? And which one do you do least? Because there's only four levels: dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior. Okay, so we'll figure out right now. I'll just give you the little formula to figure out of sensing, intuiting, thinking, and feeling, you do most to least. Okay, the last letter of your personality is either P or J. So if you don't know, for sure, I'll ask you a couple of questions right now that will determine, and I love these questions because they are so my daughter. If you are a J, you love to make lists of things to do, and you love that list so much that, If you've done something that's not on your list, you love to write it down just so you can scratch it off. Yeah, if you're a perceiver, a PU, you're going to lose the list halfway through the day. The next question I ask is, if you have an appointment at 3:30, would you rather be 55 minutes early or 5 minutes late? Yeah, you know what, Jays, they really do need to be early. It makes them crazy if they're even 1 minute late. A perceiver would say, hey, you know what, if it hasn't started, I'm not technically late now, am I? So then, based on whether you're a perceiver or a judger, if you are a judger, that means the third letter of your personality, the T or the F, is going to be done in an extroverted way. If you are a perceiver, that means the second letter, the S or the N of your personality, is going to be done in an extroverted way. Okay, so now wait a minute. Let's talk about that. If, let's say, again, I'm going to take the example of my husband. He's an ESTP. The P means that the second letter, the S of his personality, is extrovertedly oriented. That means that the other letter, the T, is introverted. And since he's an extrovert, obviously he's going to like to do his extroverted activity of sensing more than thinking. Well, that's great. So now we know that the number one activity for him is his extroverted sensing. The number two activity is his introverted thinking. But then what about the two letters that aren't his personality? In the beautiful example of nature and balance and harmony, whatever he loves to do most, the other letter of that dichotomy, he hates the most. Okay, so the polar opposite of extroverted sensing is introverted intuition. So if extroverted sensing is number one, then introverted intuition is number four. So then that leaves the thinking feeling. If he is an introverted thinker, that means when he's feeling, he's extroverted. And since we have number one is extroverted sensing, number two is introverted thinking, extroverted feeling is number three, and introverted intuition is number four. Okay, so now keeping that in mind, we have to remember that all of those things are going to have to be done. But what's a good proportion? What's a good amount of time to spend doing each in order to stay healthy? Let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think is more harmful, doing what you're not or not doing what you are? Now, this is an important issue that I raise with people because even when I'm giving them their profile, I ask them the questions to be 100% sure of who they truly naturally are. The most easily, the most beautifully, the most comfortably. They don't even know sometimes because their current lifestyle is not conducive to their real nature, their true personality's nature. How much of what you are currently doing in your life is true to your nature? It's real, the most healthy, the most natural for you. How often do I actually have to tell people, let's just peel away the layers? Because they genuinely don't know. When I say, what makes you happy? They can literally say to me, I don't understand the question. I've become very, very good at doing this because where I come from, this is acceptable behavior and that is not acceptable behavior. So I have to say to them, let's take the culture out. Let's take your child rearing, raised formidable years out. Let's take away all your experiences in life. Let's put you on an island. Ask yourself this question: what would make you happiest if there was no money? Because sometimes people say, well, what would you do if you had $1 million? No. What if money didn't exist at all? And you actually said, I am only going to buy my food. I'm only going to build my home. I'm only going to have my basic physical material necessities with happy juice. What would you have to create within yourself to have the currency, right? Instead of monetary, the emotional currency of happiness to get what you need out of life, not to have an excessive material abundance because you don't need that. Let's get back to the positive energy that you can create when you are being true to who you are. Stop doing what you're not. Start doing what you are. What would you do? And then when they answer the questions, they say, wow, okay. So if I had to be honest about what's easy for me and what I do really, really well that no one ever appreciated, and what brings me really a lot of pleasure that no one has ever been impressed by, but it's good for me. Wow. Okay. So, that kind of changes things. Let me think about that. When you know that what you are doing is going to not only be good for you, but it's going to be good for other people, you're more willing to do it. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, when you are in a culture and a society that says this particular behavior is a bad thing to do, you repress who you are. Not only that, but then you start to create something synthetic to impress other people or maybe to avoid the punishment that will inevitably occur if you are who you truly are. Get back to the real you and do the things that you need to do in the most organic way for you, because that creates the positive energy that is the foundation for the healthy synergy. I'm going to give the phone number one more time. If you have a question or a comment about these different topics, specifically, you want to know in bit more detail, 888 888 627-6008. Okay, and I'm refreshing the email. The power of synergy listeners at gmail.com. Let's go ahead and refresh that. Okay, nope, nothing yet. Okay, so then when we're thinking about the different things that you do naturally really well and the things that bring you the most pleasure. And what's easiest for you? Do you know that your dominant function is like eating? You can do it, or I'm sorry, the dominant function is like breathing. You have to do it all day long. It's the only activity that it hurts you to not do it. Okay, your auxiliary function is like eating. You don't have to do it all day, but you do need to do it. If you don't do it, you'll die. The tertiary function is like walking. You need to do it throughout the day, but you can't really do it past a certain point or it will start to hurt you. And your inferior function is like running. You really should only do it when you have to do it, because if you do it a lot, think about it just in the most practical terms. If you're doing your inferior function, you're not doing your dominant function. If you're doing your tertiary function, you're not doing your auxiliary function. And that could be harmful to you for two different reasons. First of all, because you're doing something that's very difficult for you to do, so you're not going to be doing it as well as something that's easy for you, but also because someone else whose activities that are tertiary and inferior for you would be dominant and auxiliary for them. You're stopping them from being who they truly are. Now, think about this. Long-term, big picture, and that I am, that's how I'm always thinking. You have to know that allowing other people to be who they are is one of the best gifts that you can give them. Okay. And when you say to people, especially when you say to them, I love this particular quality that you have, or this particular ability that you have, who you are makes my life better. That right there is the beginning of good synergy. That positive energy that you create with someone. When you're talking about getting a job, what's worse, to have a job that you absolutely hate, right? Or to not have the job that you love? Well, obviously they're happening at the same time, so they're both bad. But when you're talking about the damage that you do to other people, when you're doing something that you're not, you're stopping them from doing what they are. And that is actually doing them harm. Okay. And when you're not doing what you are, you're inhibiting your breathing and your eating in life. You're actually inhibiting your own success and health and happiness. So when you have to pick out a job, find something that is your dominant or auxiliary function. Okay, but what is dominant? Let's see. I'll give you the example of my husband again. Extroverted sensing and then auxiliary introverted thinking. You know what? If you're doing something that is extroverted sensing, that means you have to be involved in your environment, personally involved in your environment in a socially interactive way. Extroverted and sensing. Okay, but that means that his thinking needs to be introverted. When he's making a decision based on an analytical and rational fact, he needs to be alone while he's doing it. Yeah, okay. So one of the things that he does really well is he delivers food. That means that as he's going to different places and he's planning his time and he's organizing who he's going to deliver to, that's introverted thinking. When he's delivering food, he's actually interacting with people. That is one of the best jobs he could ever have. But you know what? He really just likes to cook. So when he makes tamales on the side for fun, That's important because the introverted thinking is running the business and the extroverted censoring is bringing people the food and watching them eat. That's very important. Now, I, on the other hand, I'm INTP. Now, I'll give you examples. Well, first of all, let me explain my functional order. The P means that my second activity, my intuition, is going to be extroverted. That means my thinking is introverted. And since I'm an introvert, my introverted thinking is number one and my extroverted intuition is number two. So, again, what does that mean my lower functions are? If my dominant function is introverted thinking, my inferior function is extroverted feeling. And so, if my auxiliary function is extroverted intuition, my tertiary function is going to be introverted sensing. Okay, so what's important for me in the day is to do introverted thinking. That's why I'm a great coach because I do writing, because I do counseling. And as an introvert, one-on-one is a great way for me to help people when I'm giving them the brilliant information in my mind as a thinker, doing it one-on-one. Yeah, I don't want to do it necessarily to a large group. And when I'm being intuitive, that's looking at the big picture and the profound meaning and how they are things in life are connected. I want to be social. I want to be involved in a group. So if I'm putting together, like for example, the work that I do with my congregation, when I'm preaching to people, we go out in groups and we give each other the support and encouragement. And I'm socially interactive when I'm talking about spiritual things. But when I'm actually teaching people as an introvert, I like to do it one-on-one. Wow, that's brilliant. I know what my passion is, and I know what is natural for me. My husband knows exactly what his passion is, and when he does things that are good and natural for him, he makes a lot of money. I cannot believe how much money people give him in tips because when he is a high quality soul, that means his heart and his mind and his body are all doing good things. That they're easy for him and bring him pleasure. People love to be with him and they love to be generous and have a good time with him. Ask yourself how much of what you do is currently who you truly are? How much is what you are good at and what is easy for you and what brings you pleasure? Okay, but you know what? I can talk about introverted, extroverted, sensing, intuiting. I decided to come up with some good examples, some practical examples, besides the ones that I've given you, just in the work that I do. Okay. One of my favorite stories of the business to tell is my very first client that I literally met in a coffee shop. I was standing behind him and he made small talk, casual talk, and said, "What do you do?" I gave him a little sales pitch for my business because I was fresh on the scene. I didn't know what I was doing. And he literally said to me, "If you can explain to me why I have the perfect job," he was a district attorney, assistant district attorney, something like that. And I have money, yeah, and he had power, and he had a lot of clients, and he had a lot of people who admired him. Why am I not happy at my job? Well, I gave him a little profile. He was actually an INTJ. That meant that his J made his thinking extroverted, but that meant his intuition was introverted. He was an introvert. He needed to get away from a setting where he was constantly interacting with people. He needed to spend time every day in his own mind, thinking about things. Yeah, and only talking a little bit about the things that were going on in his mind. He ended up becoming a teacher. Because he knew that he would be able to do that very, very well forever. His dominant function was going to be the bulk of the activity that he performed. The things that he did in his job required profound thought all by himself. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's an expression, those who can't teach. That's not true because intuitives, you know what? We don't do stuff. We like to think about stuff and we like to motivate others to do stuff. There you go. Those who can't teach was clearly an expression penned by a censor because censors, they don't want to think about it and they don't want to talk about it. They just want to shut up and do it. Okay. So then let's talk about an activity. Is it sensory? Is it intuitive? Is it thinking or feeling? How about compulsive eating? Okay, well, sensory, if you're compulsive eating, it's because you're lacking self-control. If you're feeling, it's because you're compensating for something emotional. So when you're looking at an activity and you say, okay, this isn't necessarily a good activity, is it because I'm having sensory issues or feeling issues? When you understand the source of what you're doing, not just the cause and effect. It's not just about the activity and the weight gain. It's about why you have that activity in your life. Okay, well, now let's talk about something practical, daily life, like cooking. Is cooking sensory or is it feeling? Because if you're creating a meal that you are going to give to people, for my husband and son, my son also happens to be sensory. I swear to you, my son, just like my husband, can grab five random ingredients with his eyes closed and create something that God didn't even know tasted good. I've always loved telling people that. I can't do it to save my life. I literally do exactly what the cookbook said, and somehow I still make it heinously gross. Okay, sensing is the actual act, but feeling is how and why you're doing it. Wow. Okay. So when we're talking about a healthy activity, look at the activities in your work or in your home or in your relationship. What do they actually qualify as? How much time should you spend doing each of these activities? I tell people, in the terms of breathing and eating and walking and running, a good safe ratio, and this I also describe in my book, is 50% dominant, 25% auxiliary, 10 to 20% tertiary, and 5 to 10% inferior. That means you spend 8 hours a day doing your dominant function, about 4 hours a day doing your auxiliary function, 2 to 3 hours a day doing your tertiary function, and only 1 to 2 hours a day doing your inferior function. You will actually be very healthy because you will be doing enough of what is natural for you and not too much of what is not natural for you. Now, if you have that understanding in your mind and you take a look, just take a general inventory right here, right now in your life, how much of what you do is truly you and how much of it is someone or something else. Now, that might be tough for you to know because you can't see the forest for the trees. Obviously, there are going to be times when there's a certain amount of denial for self-preservation. Sometimes it's just because you literally don't have the ability to see certain things about yourself. And then there could also be issues that are stopping you from dealing with something else that these things just bring up. So again, if you want to call in, I'll tell you the number one more time, 888-627-6008. Or if you want to email me a question, thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com. So now let me ask you this. Take the time to really stop. What in your life do you need motivation or compensation or restoration in order to do them? Okay, so I'm saying that in your dominant function, it's automatic and you're really good at it and it brings you pleasure. Okay, your auxiliary, well, you can be good at it and it can bring you pleasure, but it's not automatic. So you need motivation. You actually need a reason to do it, like hunger. There's got to be something in your environment triggering it, saying, yeah, you need to go ahead and do this because there's going to be a problem if you don't. Okay, that's your auxiliary function. What about your tertiary function? Well, it's like walking. You need motivation to do it and you need compensation. You need a reward because you can do it well, but it's not automatically easy for you and it doesn't necessarily bring you inherent pleasure. Yeah, but you can do it well. We learn how to do it. So if it's not automatic, you need the motivation and it's not easy for you, you have to get some compensation. Then sometimes what happens with people when they're doing their tertiary function, like walking, compensation becomes their motivation. That's a big red flag right there. Ask yourself how much of what you do in your life you're only doing because you're either forced to, you have to, or you're going to get something out of it. Okay, that's a pretty good indication that it's a lower function for you. If it's your inferior function, it's not easy for you. You're not good at it, and it doesn't bring you pleasure. You need motivation. You need a reason to do it, and you need compensation, a reward when you're done. And you need restoration. You need recovery time. When you're done doing it, do you actually feel so exhausted that you really and truly do need to take care of yourself to get back up to the 100%? It's okay, again, if we're talking about time allotments, to do your inferior function for 1 to 2 hours a day. But again, it's the polar opposite of your dominant function. So if you do it more, it means you're doing your dominant function less. That's very dangerous. You're playing with fire. You have to get that balance and that distribution of time back. Yeah, when you're walking, you're not really eating. You're pretty much undoing everything you ate. Okay, but it's okay. How much can someone walk during the day? You know what? You can walk 15 miles a day. You're definitely going to need to put all that stuff back by eating. Okay, you can do your tertiary function for 2, maybe 3 hours a day. Anything more than that, you're going to be harming yourself because you're going to be burning up what you did with your auxiliary function for yourself. And again, you have to think about what are the motives and intentions that you have. Okay, so sometimes now this is the next part that I explain to people. Your motive is why you're doing it. Your intention is how you're doing it. Okay, now when we're talking about, I'm going to give this example of what happened yesterday. Look, I love my granddaughter and I love my son and his wife very much, but sometimes I don't want to take care of my granddaughter. Well, my husband, being the very ESTP Mexican that he is, you know what? Family is like just another body part. They're always connected, right? And you bring them with you everywhere you go, and it's a part of your life. It's just life, right? Yeah, no, I'm an INTP American, and so family is something you schedule. And so when my son and his wife say, "Hey, we got to go to work. Who wants to take care of the kid?" My other son, ISTP, says, "Yeah, I'll take care of her. But I have other things I wanted to do." My husband says, "Hey, don't worry, bring her over. I'll take care of her." And my son says, the one who had plans says, "Okay, but I need to take care. It's okay. I'll cancel my plans." And my husband says, No, do your plans. I'll take care of the first part, and then you can come back." Very, very SP. Let's make it work. Let's do something with the situation. I sit here and I think, okay, but you know what? We have to think long term, big picture. My son might go out and have his plans while my husband's taking care of the baby, but he's going to be in a bad mood. And for me, as an N, being in a bad mood means that everything he's doing is very low quality. So I said, okay, my husband has to work. My other son has to work. I will take care of the baby. But I'm having a hard time with my NT. Okay, my N is saying long term, big picture. I actually have some problems, some personal problems with my son and his wife. And then my T says, "Well, and it's not really smart for me to take care of her because I had work to do. Somehow we got to make this work." So my N says, I'm going to think long-term, big picture. You know what? It's for my other son's happiness. No, that didn't work for me. Okay. But it's for my husband's work. No, I'm still kind of angry about it. Hey, you know what? The son who is going out to do service in the field, right, for our congregation, he's doing some missionary work. I'm saying, okay, the long-term big picture of me taking care of my granddaughter that I did not want to take care of today for my son and my daughter that I'm very irritated with. You know what? Because the people that my son is going to be teaching the Bible to, they are going to be with an amazing man that is my son. And when he teaches people about the Bible, he becomes an amazing soul. His heart and his mind and his body are very high quality. All my husband sees is my son and his wife have to go to work. All my other son, who is going to take care of the child, sees is, "Well, but you know what? If I have to stop what I'm doing to take care of the right here, right now," very sensory, I say, "No, I'm taking care of my granddaughter for my son and his wife in order to help the people in our territory get the love of my other son." Okay, so my husband thinks I'm insane because as an S, he's like, "You're giving me a headache. You're thinking too much about it," because N is his inferior function. And I say to him, "Honey, it's okay. Stop ending. You're not good at ending. Go ahead and do something sensory." And then when we're having a conversation, I say, "Okay, honey, now I have to end with you. Okay, that's your inferior function. Hey, guess what? It's my auxiliary function, and I can do it in an extroverted way." So I can be fun and entertaining to engage your lower functionality. But I know that after a certain period of time, usually it's about 15 minutes, he's going to have a meltdown. And so I say, okay, you know what? We're going to stop being N and we're going to do something S now. Okay. But he says, okay, and honey, I know that as an S, your tertiary function, you can only do it for so long. So let's throw some introverted thinking in there. So you know what? He understands that since I have two things in my personality that are introverted and two things that are extroverted, he can actually say, let's do the things that have the same social orientation at the same time. Ah. So now let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, how much of what you do with the people in your life is what they need? How much is it how they need it? And when really is it why they need it? When you know yourself and you can say to other people, this is who I am. This is what works for me. This is what's tough for me, and this is what I'm bad at. People would be very grateful just to hear you be honest. That could be at work. You can say, you know what? Like my client did, I'm doing the wrong job. And it doesn't mean I hate this kind of work. And it doesn't mean I'm angry at the people who are doing it and they want me to do it. I'm just going to do something that's more like breathing and eating for me. Okay. Because I don't like walking and running all day. Okay. And that's okay when people say, great. So what's that for you? What's the easiest for you? And what are you best at? And you can say to them, this is who I am, and this is what I love, and this is what I do. That means they have an option. They can either do what you're bad at or just be very, very patient with you while you're doing it. And that's what creates and maintains the good synergy between you and other people. Okay, so now in terms of work, that's pretty simple. But what about in a relationship? And people say that my husband and I, we are so good together. We were even talking about how we don't belong anywhere. We are both so rebellious that we don't fit into either our cultures, either of our cultures, or our families, or our societies, even in a congregation. We've been in, I think, a total of 9 different congregations in 31 years. And yeah, we don't really fit in because we're both so P. Okay. We are both perceivers. There is nothing judger about either one of us. And our thinking makes us, yeah, we don't really care that much about what people think of us. We're okay if we know that what we're doing is smart. People's opinions are not going to stop us from doing what we want. But how, when people come to me and they say, I want to know who I should be with based on my personality, what's a good personality, compatible personality for me? I tell people, here's the secret. And yes, I'm only giving this to people who can stay for 45 minutes. First of all, you have to be of a different disposition, okay? But you have to have two of the same letters in your personality. Yes, opposites attract because in life, when you get married, you're going to have to do a lot of activities. You have to be different enough to make sure every activity in marriage gets done and gets done well. But you have to be similar enough to have either the value system or the general focus or the priorities to do the different activities in a synchronized way with good synergy. Okay, but what does that mean? Honestly, when we're talking about the activities like the sensing and the intuiting and the thinking and the feeling, it means that you have to have the good cooperation without competition, but it's going to be the foundation for good communication. You have to be able to say things in the language of the other person that they can say, okay, so let me get this right. I think what you're saying is this, because when you use this word, this is what it means to me. Then the other person can say, actually, no, when I said this is what I meant. Like one of the things I love to tell people is when I ask my husband, where are you? Since he's S, he says, I'm right here in front of you. And I say, no, where are you mentally and where are you emotionally? Okay, wow. You know what, honey? You're giving me a headache again. So I take care of things like paperwork. I take care of numbers. He does not like doing things of an N nature too long. And you know what? I love to cook for him and I love to make his coffee, but he knows that past a certain point, if he comes to me and he talks to me while I'm cooking, I'm going to end up cutting myself or I'm going to burn something or something is going to be compromised. So we have two choices. Should he do the cooking for me, or should he just leave me alone and be patient while I'm doing it? You got to have a lot of long suffering when you understand the disposition of a person, and you can say, okay, your strengths are my weaknesses. We have to assign these things before they become an issue. Then an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. How much of the person that you are with really is compatible with you in your similarities, but complementary? I hate that movie. You complete me. Well, the implication there is that I'm incomplete without you. No, you're not. You're not incomplete without anybody, but complementary means that you get together in ways that make you both better people. Again, when you synergize, the improvement, the increase of the quality will also produce a larger quantity of whatever it is that needs to be done. So, yeah, when you have the once removed, because you can say, I don't really want to do it by my personality's preference, but I will still do it in my personality's way, or twice removed, you know what? I'll still do it for my personality's reason. This is the key. Appreciation and respect and trust. You have to have certain personal standards for yourself. Yeah, the different dispositions, you have to do it with ease. That creates the appreciation and respect and trust that are important in a long-term commitment relationship. Surrender. You're not going to surrender unless you trust that person completely to do the good job that you know you wouldn't be able to do. And appreciation means you value them, and you respect them means you honor them. And I love the acronym of EASE, EASE. How do you know what should be the base and what should be the exponent? Who should be the one doing the activity, and who should be the one facilitating the activity? EASE. I tell people, do an inventory before the activity needs to be done. Who has the energy, who has the ability, who has the strength, and who can create endurance? EASE. Energy, ability, strength, and endurance. Okay, so when you're deciding who should create or who should produce, right, the activity, actually the work that needs to be done for that task, that's the two middle letters. Who has the ability and the strength to do that activity in a high quality way? Then the other person needs to be the energy and the endurance to facilitate that happening. So sometimes people say, well, I'm better at something because I'm a higher number. Well, okay, but think about it. If you're the higher number, you might still be more effective and more beneficial and more helpful to the other person as the exponent. Because again, when we were talking about the numbers in the beginning, 3 and 8, 8 to the 3rd power is 512, but 3 to the 8th power is 6,561. So when you say to someone, you know what? Even though I'm not the one doing the activity as the base number, I am facilitating you to do that activity as the exponent to be hundreds of times more powerful and more successful and more gratified in what you're doing. Then sometimes, even though you're not the one getting all the glory for what was actually done, you are getting the fulfillment and the gratification of facilitating someone else doing that activity in a very high quality way. What do you want more in a relationship? Are you relationship material? Are you ready to say, I appreciate who you are because I can admit that that's not who I am? And understand and trust that what you have and what you do and what you are is absolutely essential to the success and the health and happiness of the world. So I'm going to let you do what you're good at, and I'm going to appreciate it. And I'm going to encourage you and support you, yeah, and energize you to be a high quality soul so that everything you do is going to be good for the people around you, including yourself and including me. How important is that to you in your life? Now, if you have to change your lifestyle, yeah, that's something that you need to seriously take into consideration. But I tell people also it's important. I like to stretch, right? Stretching is very important. but only to your limit. So you don't break yourself. You don't want to break. When you have to change, you kind of have to step out of your comfort zone, but not in any extreme way. I haven't seen any emails, but I might need to refresh. Okay, because we're coming up. Okay, no emails yet. Okay. And so when we're talking about making a change, that's stepping out of your comfort zone. You're stretching yourself a little bit. I tell people, don't change more than 5% at a time. Now, again, when you have to start something new, that means you have to stop what you're doing. Take an inventory. How much of your day right now is of you doing your dominant function? Do you know what that function is? Do you know how much time you're spending doing each of these activities? Because again, some activities could be several different functions. Which one are you employing when you do these different activities? If you know how much time you're spending on the dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior levels, but you want to get it back to that 50%, 25%, 10 to 15%, and 5 to 10% ratios, you have to stop what you're doing and simultaneously start something new. So do not push yourself too hard, too fast to make those changes. And the best part of that is when you tell the people in your life, hey, this is what I'm doing, and this is how I'm doing it, and this is why I'm doing it. You can help me, you can facilitate me, you can support me. People love to do that, and they know, especially if you say to them, you being who you are, that I appreciate and respect and trust is going to make me a better quality soul so that when I am with you, I will have a better heart and mind and body to be better for you, with you, and to you. You know what? Believe it or not, again, ladies and gentlemen, positive is more powerful than negative. And if people know that you want to get together with them to create positive in a good way and for a loving reason, they will absolutely get on board with you. And so if you say to them, this is my ultimate goal, I tell people don't really change a habit too quickly. They say 3 weeks is a good time period to make a habit. If you know that you're making progress, even in just a little way, it's definitely going to be worth it. Then you are making the world a better place with your healthy synergy. Now, my book, I actually, my MBTI book, I gave the manuscript to my publisher, and we've been kind of going back and forth for a few weeks because they've basically tried to eliminate half of my manuscript, and it's kind of frustrating to me. So I am offering now people who listen to my show and my connections and followers on LinkedIn, if you want the original manuscript, I still have it that I gave to them. And then probably in about 2 weeks, it'll be on the market. The final version, the edited version, you can go ahead and buy that online. But in the meantime, if you want to get the copy, the original copy of my book, you can go to the Power of Synergy listeners at gmail.com and request that. If I get enough people who want to order the book, the original manuscript that I made, I'm going to make the audiobook, the recording of me reading it. And you can go ahead and have that as part of the purchase. Ordinarily, it would be $29.95. That's what it's going to be going for when it's on the market. But I'll give it to people now for $14.99 if you want to get it on my website at life-synergy-coaching.com. Life-synergy-coaching.com. And the dashes, not periods and not one word, life-synergy-coaching.com. You can go ahead and purchase it there. And I really do want to know people's feedback. So, again, this is the Power of Synergy. And if you ever want to email a question to me, I will check it in between the shows, the Power of Synergy listeners at gmail.com. And the radio station is 888-627-6008. The archives are always on the radio station's website. And I'm also thinking about going on screen. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want this video, not just audio, let me know that also. You can go ahead and give me your feedback in that the Power of Synergy listeners at gmail.com email address. I'm going to decide in about 2 weeks if I'm going to do this on camera or if I'm just going to leave it audio based on the feedback. So again, remember the power that you have, people, the influence that you have over people. Choose what you want to do with your life in a powerful way. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll see you next week.